Hi, I'm Bateson87 and you're listening to the Foot Weekly Podcast.
I'm your host Ben and I've played the full version of FIFA 18 so you don't have to. In this special, we get answers on scripting, composure and FIFA 18 gameplay from the very people you'd want to hear from, EA's gameplay producers. I'm also joined by 40-0 FootWiz signed pro player Roach, aka Louis, and Foot Weekly regulars Ben and Horace. Yeah, I know Ben's me. We'll give our verdict on FIFA 18 as we attempt to identify the players and tactics you'll need. All that coming up right after this.
I've been playing Ultimate Team for a while. The noticeable change which I've noticed within Ultimate Team gameplay, I wouldn't really say the faces change when you're opening packs, when you're doing squad builders, but when you move into gameplay itself, shielding was a massive factor when it came to playing the game, and that was something I abused throughout FIFA 17. FIFA 18, the shielding's there, but it's a lot more balanced between the taller and the stronger players compared to the... Instead of Lionel Messi, I've been playing with Messi. He got barged off the ball ridiculous amounts. Pinging up to Ronaldo, he's strong, he can dribble, he can move around. I've not packed the greatest of players, but I borrowed a icon, prime icon, Rude Hullet off TAS, hashtag TAS, the 93 rated Hullet. Now, Hullet's been one of my favourite cards since it was ever released in Ultimate Team, back in FIFA 14, 15, I think it was. And last year, I abused with him during the weekend league. Wanted to try this one out. Played against Guerrilla with the prime Hullet, two games, and he absolutely dominated the midfield. Even moving up into attack, he was very dominant. Moving into defence, he was all over the place in a good way. But he honestly is he's obvious, 93 rated player. He's definitely the best player I've used so far this FIFA 18. So I've done a few cheap squad builders, obviously because everybody, starter teams are the main thing when you go into Ultimate Team. You'll be trading your way on the web app, moving into the full game itself. You're then going to find up cheap gems, which you can hopefully dominate with in competitive gaming. So I found that, I forgot his name now, Lamar from Monaco. He's obviously been a hype figure in the past couple of months with transfers potentially to Arsenal and Liverpool. He is rapid. I've linked him up with Mbappe, and the version we're playing on Mbappe is currently at Monaco as well, so gives a green link. But even with the squad I built, Mbappe and Lamar, they both tore it up. And me just saying that is probably going to hype his price up. But you guys, if you're trading around the right time, you should be able to pick them up for a reasonable price. And honestly, you'll do bits with them.
Big thanks to Bateson87, who you can find on YouTube and Twitter, for opening the podcast. And to the EA Game Changers program for making this podcast possible. It comes live from the Capture event, so please bear with a slight dip in audio quality this week. It's also worth noting that the build we're playing is apparently further ahead than the demo, which you may or may not have played by the time you listen to this, so just bear that in mind. I kick things off by asking Louis how he'd got on with the overhauled defending.
Yeah, I'll be very surprised unless I can adapt to the new style of defending to get a 40-0. I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll be surprised if you see it for a while, actually.
Oh, really?
Because the defending's literally gone from a guy can put his controller down and you struggle to score, to now it's where if he doesn't control the guy and step and get in the right position, he's going to be in trouble. So I definitely think that we've gone from one extreme to the other, but I'm definitely happy with the change. And I mean, if they hadn't have changed it, I'd have been shocked, because that was one thing that everyone, genuine, from pro players to YouTubers to casual players, everyone was calling out for that, because it just wasn't.
And are you a bit happier with kind of this version of it compared with the beta and the demo kind of?
Okay, yeah. So I was fortunate enough to play the beta, and I say that I wasn't upset with the fact that it was hard, because I really would like it to be a skill-based game. You know, I want it to be that both sides of the ball, attacking and defending, is skill-based. But it was the fact that it didn't feel responsive, which I can happily say now that I've played this latest version of the game, which, like you said before, it's going to be very, very close to what the full game's like. Now, if you don't defend well, then it's pretty much on you. Whereas I felt in the beta that there wasn't really much I could do. It was just a toss-up whether I'd get the ball or not, so...
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it's quite well-balanced, actually, this version.
Yeah.
And I suppose that gives hope to anyone who's really struggling on the demo as we speak.
Yes, for sure, yeah. I don't think I'm scared. I don't want to play. I'm too scared to play it now.
Exactly. Yeah. At least, I guess that's kind of good, because a lot of people criticise the way that EA tend to, like, patch things, because the response is quite negative towards certain decisions they make. But if people have played the demo, then they go into the real game, and it's actually slightly easier to defend, maybe that will kind of slightly...
I'll be shocked if anyone... Yeah. Who plays the demo then complains about the full game.
Okay.
Obviously that's if it stays the way it is now.
Yeah. And so I think the other big change, I don't know whether you both agree, would be dribbling. It feels quite different.
Of course.
So what they've done, and we'll hear from the producers later, they've changed it so that there's kind of more touches can be taken. The animations aren't kind of locked in. So you could get a bit more variation in movement.
Yeah, it almost felt like on previous FIFAs you could kind of go upwards. downwards, left, yeah. right, whereas there's a lot, you can really bend around and curve and mm-hmm. kind of move and...
I mean, it was years ago that they introduced like 360 dribbling, mm-hmm. but in terms of actual sort of being able to do lane changes and having kind of dynamic touches in between inputs from the player, it was really limited in previous years. But now you get like high school players like Messi and Dybala, they're just taking like loads and loads of touches. It's really like... so much more responsive.
And I think it feels way more responsive than it has previously because of that. You can change direction at any time rather than at the end of an animation.
Yeah, if anything, it's almost been an adaptation of its own because I'm like, oh wow, I can do more touches now. Yeah. I wasn't almost ready for that to be a possibility, so.
What I've quite enjoyed is, so now they've introduced this LB dribble, which is like a close control thing, and it kind of combines well, you do a bit of shielding, then you know, as you would previously,
yeah.
which has been toned down a bit, I think.
Oh, thank God. Literally, you had players like Kante holding off like a Pogba. It's like,
Even players like Dybala, right?
Yeah.
So that's an improvement. And you can kind of, you know, shield, and then you can use that LB button, or L1, of course, if you're on the PlayStation. You can kind of move away with a little dribble rather than being held in one position by your shielding. So you can move off quite effectively now rather than just like kind of feeling like you're jumping around when you move out of it. So yeah, it's really good. And even the dribbling without any modifiers feels quite good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think literally that could be a skill. It's just literally no triggers, no L1, R1. Just left stick dribbling feels way more useful than it has in any year that I remember.
So we've covered both dribbling and defending. So let's move on to passing, which I think has had another quite significant change this year. There's kind of more options, I suppose. Have you managed to kind of take advantage of them, Louis, so far?
Yeah, so what I'd say is definitely a lot more variation this year. You can do more than just run down the line, stop, and then just drive and shot it into the area. There's chip through balls, which obviously get onto how effective they are in a minute, but you can do chip through balls. The driven pass can be used as not as such as just getting it into the box. Literally, it's just a case of I want to switch the ball quicker, like switch the play quicker. So there's so many more variations.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Particularly also the lofted passes. You can, if you hold L1 when you do a square or X like lofted pass, then the player kind of really floats it. That's not actually that useful because it just means the ball gets transferred slower. Though maybe if you've got a like really big target man, whether that's relevant to the competitive meta, I don't know. But for those people that like to play like that, it could be useful.
Yeah.
But you can also hold RB
exactly, with square
and really like ping it across the pitch, and that is quite effective, I think. Potentially very useful and a dangerous way of setting up an attack.
Yeah, and what the producers were saying to me is that they've made it so that the positioning of players is actually much more wide, so they kind of take up the space that wide, which was, I think, one of the reasons why you had so much like play through the middle last year. So that could be really kind of key, and taking advantage of that could be using those passes to do that.
Yeah.
But actually, marking's not terrible, so you do find players will come across and cut out those passes if you're not careful. But yeah, they've also added in loads of different crosses. Basically RB cross, you know what I mean? And then LB cross. So RB is like a ground one and LB is like a kind of more looping one, I guess, similar to the lob pass system. And I think those are quite effective. But also, I suppose, what is most interesting is the way they've changed the animation. It's much more like kind of swung in, like there's much more curve on the cross.
Of course, yeah, it seemed very flat before. Just like we said about the passing and the dribbling, everything seems to have a lot more direction, a lot more... Just general movement. It doesn't just float in so like robotically. There's a real whip to a cross now. It's a proper cross.
And also, I don't think, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard because we haven't tested it loads, but it doesn't feel like ridiculously overpowered. I think that'll be one of the questions people have.
Yeah, like, no, I wouldn't say it does. What I'd say is, and it's very refreshing coming from someone who's a big fan of like possession football and Pep Guardiola and the way that he likes to play, because there's been numerous FIFAs where I've maybe watched a Bayern Munich game or whatever team he's managing at the time, and I thought, okay, well, I want to try and play like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a year where you don't have to play 4-2-3-1 wide or narrow. You don't have to play 4-1-2-1-2 with the diamond and just play like everyone else. I really feel like this year, obviously it's going to take adjustments and some sort of skill, but if you really put the time in, I really think that you could play numerous formations and you could play in numerous ways. I think that's something that's, for me especially, that's something I think is really big.
Yeah, something that I'm going to be really interested to see as we get into the first few months of the game is probably how the kind of meta develops in terms of what people are doing, what people find to be the most competitive way of playing, because normally the game does settle down into something, but hopefully, yeah, kind of as Louis is saying, this year it'll be well balanced enough that there are multiple different ways that are competitive to play the game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the key thing about it this year is like variation. there just seems so many more ways to play and so many more options when you're on the pitch. And what I love, they've introduced a minor thing, but the way that they've changed crossing, so dummying, so when you sort of dummy to cross, the player actually lifts up an arm, like the correct arm, to cross in from one side, and then the other arm when they're crossing in from the other side, and stuff like that, little details in the animations, they've made, like, added in so much more detail, which has just made actually dummying way more convincing, which is kind of weird, but like, you actually believe someone's going to cross it.
But it's quite a good point about dummying. That's something we didn't raise talking about dribbling. There are a lot more different kind of like dummy exits now that you can do. So turning around on the spot with dummies, kind of affecting a Cruyff turn, is a lot more doable and quite effective, I've found.
Yeah, if I could say one thing, I think that the whole dummying thing, like you're mentioning, I feel like that kind of, that movement, doing a dummy in a game, hasn't been relevant maybe since FIFA 13.
Because everyone knows what it looks like.
Whereas now there's such a different variety, and we don't know because we haven't played enough games. I wonder if that has to do with like the variation of how high their dribbling is. I think that'd be something interesting to see. Yeah. If they have a higher dribbling, does it mean that they can dummy it and get back to the ball quicker? Or do you know? I wonder. That'd be interesting to know. But
yeah, and actually one thing that the producers are really keen to stress is the importance of stats in this particular build. And in the game, hopefully, when it comes out. and I think what they're trying to do is make players like Kroos, Iniesta more important, and we'll hear from the producers who no doubt will highlight that, but I think they've kind of got it. Like, it does feel like those players are more effective. It's just whether, I don't know, you come up against these really pacey teams, are those players still going to be as effective in that situation? And actually, maybe it's only the very top players with the top passing that can
yeah, so what I'd say about that is, like I said, back to the style of play, is I'd hope that if you're good enough at protecting Kroos, like we know, he hasn't got a high defending stat, he hasn't got a high pace stat. But if I've got players around him that can do the running for him, then I'm hoping that that's a possibility. Because if it is, then it's great. But if it's not, then it's he almost because I think he might be the highest rated player. I don't know if the build's final, but so if he's not usable, it's almost not important. Yeah, yeah,
he's going to be like top 10. So in terms of like non-inform cards in the game, so surely he's got to be
relevant. He's got to have a place somewhere. I'm not saying he's got to be the best, but he's got to have a place somewhere on the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. And they have worked on that. I mean, there were so many useless players last year, like Iniesta.
Busquets, you just couldn't use them.
Yeah, and that does seem better. And I think the way they've worked on positioning, this is just like a really kind of, I mean, nobody's mentioned this, but I think that players with less stamina seem less problematic. Like, at least the ones that maybe do...
No, I agree. No, 100%. I was smiling because I agree. Yeah, genuinely, I do.
I thought you were, like, smirking at me.
No, I genuinely agree. Because I'm saying...
There's nothing.
No, I would never say that. No, genuinely, because that's what I'm saying with Kroos. I'm really hoping that if I can tweak the instructions, because I only played one game with him, and that was in... because the servers weren't working, I had to do a player-friend squad, so I wasn't sure if the gameplay would be the same. But yeah, he managed to last a full game, so I was... It wasn't a case of him being too tired on, like, oh, God, he's not in the right position. So.
It's almost like maybe because the adjustments they've made to positioning have actually meant that players are kind of more intelligent in not kind of just running for
Like what I'm hoping, like what they mentioned was about, it was the player, was it authenticity? Was that what they're talking about? How players run there. So maybe, I mean, I'm going out on a limb here, but maybe they've tried to put that into the players. Because let's be honest, when you see someone like Kroos or your Rakitic or your Busquets, these guys that are just ball players, he's not running ever. He's never running anywhere. I would like it if he just stayed around the halfway line and pushed up a little bit when I've got attack. When I'm in attack. So
yeah, he's the sort of player who doesn't need to run to do his game. Your metronome. Yeah, the ball comes to him, he walks, he passes it again.
Yeah, literally, I'd love it if you could. I wish that you could walk in game. I wish that was an option to just walk. I think it was Thiago Motta, I think a couple of games ago in real life with PSG. He was just walking up the pitch because he just had so much time on the ball.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Once you know the game that well, that's what you got.
Yeah, let the ball do the running for you.
We'll discuss our top gameplay tips, player picks, and answer your questions very shortly. But first, producer interviews. We hear from gameplay producer and skill move guru, Kancho Doskov. But first, I started by asking lead gameplay producer Sam Rivera what he thought the most significant gameplay change was for FIFA 18. And then, of course, the small matter of scripting, momentum, and composure.
In terms of gameplay, I think that the main one is the real player motion technology. It's a brand new animation system that allows us to pick animation every single frame instead of every step the player was taking. So in the past, obviously, as I mentioned, every step was an animation, but you could see the transitions, like they were not very smooth when changing between animations. But now, because it's every frame, for the human eye, it just looks like one fluid motion, like the movement is very, very fluid. And that engine also allows us to create more responsiveness, because every frame the player can start modifying his path, and also more personality. So we can put in the game, for example, Ronaldo animations, and now he moves exactly like Ronaldo in FIFA, moves exactly like Ronaldo in real life. In fact, we went to Madrid to motion capture Cristiano Ronaldo, and that's why in FIFA he looks exactly like in real life. We also modified the way some other players run, like for example, Robin or Sterling. They have a very unique way of running. Jordi Alba, even Luis Suarez. And you will see that in the game. That's how things look. How things feel is also much improved. Like the dribbling is so much more responsive, explosive. And you can now see them and feel the personality of the players. So, for example, if you pass to Iniesta, he's very good with the ball, hiding it, moving it side to side. You cannot tackle him easily. But he's not as explosive as Messi is. But if you pass to Messi, then he has both. He can also hide it, but he can beat players on speed, which Iniesta may not be as good. If you pass to somebody, then like Piqué, then he needs to pass, because he's not going to be able to hide the ball as effectively as Iniesta could, for example. So that personality, you can feel it when you have the ball. And so FIFA feels quite different. I think those things are pretty big.
That's really good. And the other thing that I noticed is shielding seems less effective this year. I think even with like moderately strong players, you seem to be able to hold off centre-backs, but it doesn't seem to be quite be the case.
It's tuned. We continue tuning based on the attribute, the strength attribute, and the mass of the player, the weight. As you mentioned, it's still useful if you do it in the right situation. If you are not a very strong player, then you may not be. You will get pushed. We were actually just testing that with somebody that asked us the same question, Neymar was getting pushed easily by a stronger defender when trying to shield the ball, which is very authentic.
And it's also linked with stamina, isn't it? And the player's stamina kind of drains as they hold off a player.
Exactly, the stamina. The players need to use the stamina when they are shielding the ball.
And I suppose you hinted at this earlier, but players who are pretty ineffective last year, like Ozil, Iniesta, maybe Busquets, people like that, do you think that they have a role in this iteration of the game?
Yes, personality is a very important thing for us in FIFA 18, and that comes to life through dribbling, that you can, as I mentioned, you experience Iniesta being much better at hiding the ball, maybe not super explosive, but hiding the ball. And it also works in passing. You will see players like that are really good passers, having understanding better where exactly they need to pass to, so the opponent cannot intercept. At crossing as well, there's a lot of more personality in there, so you will see that those players are more useful than in previous years.
Yeah, and in fact, crossing is a really good thing to talk about, because you've got kind of, it's kind of been redesigned, I suppose. You've got
exactly.
New buttons as well.
We did ton of work on crossing this year to make it more dangerous, because we know in FIFA 17 it wasn't the most used tactic. So this year we made the crosses more leading, more curling, more driven, more dangerous overall, so that even if you don't get your head to the ball as an attacker, it's still going to cause the goalkeeper problems. And it's totally based on the attributes. So the best crossers in the world, like Kevin De Bruyne, his 90 rated or his high crossing attribute, it's going to really stand out. It's going to make those crosses almost perfect every time, compared to a lower rated crosser where there will be much more error and it could go to the goalkeeper's hand.
But let me add to that it's all, there's also user skill. You need to be in a good position, a good facing angle, a good speed, with no pressure to do a very good cross. Previous FIFAs, there were some years where maybe it was too easy to just go to the wing and cross regardless where you were facing or anything. Mm-hmm. Now you need some skill to get into that good situation to have the perfect cross that can end up in goals. So it's not as simple as just going to the wing and crossing, because we don't want crosses to be overpowered. But if you manage to beat the defender, to beat the fullback, and be in a good position with good angle, then yes, the cross is going to be more successful than before. So there's user skill and there's the attribute part.
And I also feel that from scoring a couple of quite nice volleys over the past days, that is there a change to the way those are kind of approached or something? Because they seem to do that well.
That's a very good point. First of all, we added new animations, but we improved our system that approaches, controls the approach of the player to the ball to time it better. So instead of just going to the spot where the ball is going to get to and then waiting there and then shooting from stand, what's happening is he waits from certain distance and then he approaches the ball just when it's going to arrive to hit it with momentum, with player momentum. Mm-hmm. And that creates just much more fluidity and nicer outcomes that feel more rewarding. They look more football than before. Just because of that little tweak, a lot of things feel different. We also tune the trajectory of the volleys. There were many situations in FIFA 17 where it seemed like a relatively easy volley, and then there was just so much error. So we also tune that. You will see outcomes that doesn't mean that every single ball is going to be a goal, but they will be closer, so you're engaged. Is it going to be a goal or not? You don't know what's going to happen. There's suspense there. So that's so a lot of things happening to make sure that that happens, and attributes as well are going to count a lot as well.
So I noticed playing that I seem to have to be doing a lot more work defensively than perhaps I would have last year. And I know a lot of people will know that from the beta. You kind of seem to have kept that through to this version. What was your aim with that? Just to create a skill gap, maybe?
Yes, that's for sure one of them. So in FIFA 17, a lot of people complained that it was too easy to just let the AI defend and it would do very good. So the idea is you have to be a bit more patient and tactical with your defending. It's more up to you. If you really want the defender to stick in front of the attacker, then you need to control it manually. If you let the AI, it's still going to do a good job, but not as good as before. So you can beat the AI easily. The AI is going to bite on skill moves, for example, more often. But the idea is to create, yes, a bigger skill gap. But that's not the only thing. The other thing is that we changed the mathematical model that controls how players can turn and decelerate and accelerate to be more realistic. And with that, then you need to play FIFA in a more realistic way as you would in real football. And with that, I mean, you just not sprint to the dribbler all the time to try to tackle him. If you did that, the dribbler just goes to the side and then you're gone. You need to decelerate, turn, come back. By that time, the dribbler is going to be gone. So what you need to do in real life is you need to go, you need to contain, you need to position yourself to try to time your tackle or try to wait for a mistake where the ball gets away from him. So that similar approach you need to take in FIFA to properly tackle. And then if you do that and then you tackle, it's just more rewarding. It's more like in real football. And personality matters as well. We make sure that defenders that are really good at tackling, you have a little advantage on that. Defending in general, we've seen that at the beginning it feels different. Yes, it's a new game. But people, after a few matches, they are really learning and they are enjoying it more because, as I mentioned, it's more rewarding if you properly do it than if you just sprint to somebody and tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people will probably be listening and saying, oh, well, this is all great, but the first patch often changes the game. Do you feel confident that the first patch will not significantly change the game? Have you had feedback over this period that you think you may make changes? I mean, one thing I noticed was I thought maybe some of the finishing was a little bit easy.
So, it's like every year, you know, we have to fix some issues that are really breaking the balance of the game. That doesn't mean there will be big issues this year that we need to fix. Gameplay, we usually try to just focus on those bugs that like player gets frozen or something like that we didn't have time, that we couldn't find on time, or it was a knock on bug last minute from a last minute change or something. There's a lot of opinions about patches. There's people that every single patch they feel is not a good change. But we also hear feedback of people enjoying the changes that we put afterwards because it balances the game. So it's too early, basically, to tell you what's going to happen with the patches. What I can tell you is we make sure that we try to stay away, basically, gameplay-wise, to stay away from patching the game all the time. We just try to focus on those bugs that are really, are really preventing you to having a fun experience. What I can tell you, though, as producers, we go home, we play with the patches, the same as everybody. We play a lot. We are really into the game. We're passionate about the game. We discuss. We try to come up with solutions that will not affect the gameplay in general. Just try to focus the fixes in little areas. So it's a big effort. Unfortunately, we have to fix stuff. Otherwise, people would be exploiting stuff.
And so, Kancho, I guess you don't make changes without testing things either. You know, if loads of people are complaining about something, I'm sure you make sure that it's not just their imagination before implementing a patch.
Yeah, of course. So we get a lot of feedback, and we try to confirm every bit of feedback, make sure that indeed it is a problem, or sometimes it's not a problem. But if it is a problem, then we make sure to make very surgical changes that don't affect the whole game, but just specifically focus on one little area that may not be balanced correctly. We make a change there. We make sure to test it very thoroughly with our whole testing team and the producers also. We play the game at home. We're very passionate fans as well, so we make sure that these changes are actually having a good impact on the game.
Great. No, that's really good to hear. And do you mind quickly busting a few myths with me? There are a few things that people ask all the time. I think the main one this year has been, what is composure? Sam, do you want to say that?
For sure. So composure basically determines at what distance the guy with the ball is going to start feeling the pressure from an opponent. If I have a very good composure attribute, that means the opponent can be quite close to me and I'm still not going to feel like he's pressuring me. If my attribute is lower, then he's getting closer, he's still quite far, and I may already start feeling that pressure. And then pressure is going to affect how much error there is in the shot or in the pass or in the cross. So composure attribute is quite important to be more accurate in your actions.
And so the other question people always have is kind of, what is the difference between foot gameplay and head-to-head or offline gameplay?
Yeah, so basically it's one single gameplay engine, that's it. The difference though is that chemistry adds a boost in attributes to players. So because of that boost, then they're faster, they're better at everything. So foot may feel, if you have a good team, it may feel like better.
This is something I always say, and I don't think people have believed me until now, so it's really good to hear you say that, because plus 15 is some of the boosts you can get.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like turning, you know, an average player into a really, really great player. It's a
Correct.
Huge difference.
So that, exactly. So that just changes gameplay a little bit because they are better. But if you had the same a team with the same attributes in FIFA, it would feel exactly the same because it's just one gameplay engine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's good to know as well. And the other question is, what does sort of 99 mean in this stat? Is it like 99% chance of doing it without an error? Or?
No, it's just a rating number. So basically when we... Obviously, if you're 99, you have less chances to have error, but there will still be some error, like in real life. It's authentic. Like if you ask the best free kick taker in the world to take a free kick, he's the best ever, he's still going to miss. So that's, we try to put authentic behaviors in the game. And how we actually develop it is we go from 1 to 99, and then it's kind of... continuous functions for all the attributes, how this works. Yes.
Yeah. In other words, that means that every point matters. Like there is a difference between 80 and 81.
Yeah.
And not as much of a difference between 81 and 82. So every one of those attribute points will make a difference.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And then the other thing that people always ask is there scripting? Is there 45th minute kind of stuff?
So.
Or, like, what's the situation with that? Do you want to?
We have reassured. I get asked this question a lot, and it's always the same answer. There's absolutely nothing like that in the game. We don't have any reason to put that in the game. What we do, our job is to put the authentic behaviors from real life in the game. And one of them is personality, for example. There's personality in, let's say, marking. So sometimes if you're a really good marker, you will have a better idea of where is the attacker making a run. If you are not really good, you may take a little bit longer to recognize he's just making a run behind you. And that little bit longer may end up in a goal. But that has nothing to do with which minute you're playing or anything. That's just attributes and how good players are. And that. But that's it. And there's absolutely nothing related to the time of the match or to the rating of the squads or anything like that. I've heard so many different theories, and I've seen many shots that don't go in the minute 90, and I've seen, it's just, I don't know, people tend to in the last minute to be more nervous because it's the last minute, it's when you will remember what's happening, but in reality we don't have any reason or anything. Why would we favor somebody? It's just like, then doesn't make any sense for us. So we don't spend time, any time at all on that. And it's very funny because a lot of people say, yeah, there's momentum. Well, we've been saying for many years, there's absolutely nothing, but the people don't believe us. And, but,
I suppose the other point is that surely the 45th minute, because of added time, is always longer. So isn't it likely that more goals
in theory, it would be 46 minutes, 47 or 48, depending on how many extra minutes you got.
But people just say, oh, 45th minute, and they include like 4 or 5 minutes.
Exactly. And if the referee says 3 extra minutes, there's an algorithm that says when the game finishes after those 3 minutes. But obviously, we have to check that one of the teams is not in a counterattack or about to score a goal. So that may extend a little bit. Because it's also realistic in real life, if you're about to score, the referee is not going to stop the game right there. And that algorithm could sometimes run a little bit longer, but it's just because the game is waiting for that moment where it's okay to finish the game. It's absolutely nothing else. So that's why there could be some confusion, but there's no scripting.
Great. And so on the skill side of things, what have you kind of built on? Any new features?
Yeah, there's a bunch of new skills in the game. One in particular is called the drag back spin, and that's based off a move that Sebastian Giovinco, the Italian striker, did this past season, where he drags the ball back and spins all in one motion. So that's a very cool new skill move. You can do that by flicking the right stick back into the side, to the left or to the right, depending on which direction you want to spin.
So it sort of looks like a one-footed roulette, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like a one-footed roulette, exactly. Yeah. And there's a few other ones, like the flick-over skill, where you can scoop the ball up and over an opponent's head. Now that can be done while running, so it's much more effective. You don't have to stop like you needed to last year in FIFA 17. We also have the directional fake shot to stop feature. So in previous FIFAs, you could stop the ball with a fake shot, but only facing the goal. So now you can actually choose the direction you face in when you do a fake shot and stop. That's just by holding the right bumper or R1 on PlayStation modifier while doing a fake shot, and the left stick determines your direction of which way you want to face when you stop the ball.
Perfect. I think that's fantastic. Thanks very much, Kanjo.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Sam.
No problem.
So welcome back. I'm once again here with Horace and Louis. We are going to first of all discuss our top tips for this year. So coming into the demo and also coming into the real game, what are the things that people should be trying to experiment with, I suppose? Louis, first of all.
So what I noticed straight away was on this year's game, there's a lot of counter-picking formations. I was a formation where I'd play, there's one game where I played narrow, and at halftime I was 4-0 down, and then in the second half, I can technically say that I won 2-0 playing a wide formation. Mm. So the biggest tip I'd give to anyone, this is at any level, is make sure you have a narrow formation. That can be 4-2-3-1 narrow or 4-3-1-2 narrow, whichever formation you like to play narrow. But you've got to have a wide formation that you're somewhat comfortable with, because otherwise you will really struggle in games that you potentially could have had a chance in, but just because you wasn't willing to change formation.
Well, I was really enjoying the 4-2-3-1 like brackets two.
Yeah.
I've always really liked that, but like the way you've got the right mid and left mid out there, but you've also got the two players centrally.
Yeah.
CDM's quite solid. It's always been quite good, but I think this year it does work quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the fact that the right mid left mid don't go too far forward, because I felt like they weren't marked quite as well by left back and right back. Whereas sometimes when I was playing a right wing and left wing, the left back would just like stick on them. You couldn't like switch the play or like
of course,
they were really on it.
Well, and I think that having variety in the formations you use is really, really going to be important. Particularly that just ties in with the defending thing, because last year you could just play a narrow formation, pack the defense, and the computer just did enough work for you that it's hard to defend. Whereas now this year people can use the width and like pull your players out of position when you try and do that. But outside of that, my top tip so far is one that's not really something I've taken advantage of that much, but I have conceded a chipped goal in, I think, 3 out of the 5 games that I've played.
Wow.
And I've probably conceded that many in like a couple of months of FIFA 17. So that's something to watch out for. I don't know if you guys have found the same.
I'd go as far as saying years. I don't remember the last time I conceded a chip shot.
Hmm.
It genuinely might have, maybe this year. Chip shots are 100% back, and not just the generic, keeper comes out, the keeper comes out all the way and you just dink it over him. It's, he comes out a little bit and you've got a player, like we said about the stats. If they're good enough, you can definitely
There's actually like a chip shot trait, so maybe.
Yeah, that maybe that'll maybe the traits will be more important.
Yeah, yeah. Could be relevant. Chip life may well be back then.
Yeah, James, shout out to him. Big fan.
Right, let's move on to the players we feel are good, basically, in short. Who have you found particularly good, Horace?
Probably my favourite player that I've used so far. It's Paulo Dybala. I think like his combination of agility and shooting on that left foot is so clinical. Though player in a similar mould to him, Griezmann, who was godlike last year,
incredible.
I've found much less good so far in the games I've played. Again, I've only played a couple, but for him, something about his balance just felt slightly off. Like he got shoulder barged off the ball way more easily, whereas Dybala still has that sort of weird strength that you don't expect him to have.
Yeah, he's a bit nippy.
It's got to be the balance. It's got to be
definitely.
Balance.
So Louis, who was your favourite?
So another Argentine. They have an incredible attack on this game and in real life, but unfortunately the defence isn't as good. But so for me, another Argentine, another striker slash attacking mid, depending where you want to play him. Sergio Aguero, just like in real life, just playing incredible. He's really, really good on this year's game. And I've been a big fan of Aguero for the last couple of years, but until you got like his team of the season or a couple informs on the previous games, he just didn't have that extra strength that maybe that we were talking about before with Dybala, where he can just about keep the defender off him. So yeah, Aguero, another one, super special. Really, really enjoying him. He has that extra strength like we were talking about with Dybala. And he has a 4-star week for, and it genuinely feels, it could be 5. You really wouldn't be able to tell. He seems to be able to finish pretty much everything. So yeah, big, big fan of Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is, of course, one of the better players. I think you both picked, like, really good players. The player I'm going to pick is a little bit worse, and is maybe a player you can pick up
for a hipster pick.
Yeah, always with the hipster picks. But he's a player you can probably pick up a bit earlier in the game, and he's going to be pretty cheap. It's and actually, there's a combination of two players here. But you've got Abubakar, who's now at Porto, and you've got Gelson Martins. They both have something very special, which I probably can't say because it's a ratings embargo, but if you check their stats on either head-to-head...
I'm sure you'll see it, yeah.
You can check it on head-to-head on 17, or you can check it once the stats are out.
And it's Ben, so you know what it is. Yeah, you probably know what it is.
But let's move on, just in case we don't get invited back. let me get into it. So both of them are really, really good at just kind of picking up the ball, beating a few players, and I think one of the interesting things about Abubakar is I've really found a physical player, like really effective. And I think, although you guys have picked out two less physical players, they have something about them, a bit of hustle. And they also are very, very good, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So as a sort of slightly lower rated player, I think having that kind of all-round kind of presence
I think with Abubakar, he's quite a big guy, like 6'1".
So. And he's got that kind of body. And they were talking about how the weight matters to strength.
Okay, yeah.
So, and he's like a heavy guy.
Yeah.
So I think that really works well. And then he's also got a little bit of agility. He's very well balanced. I think that works really effectively.
Yeah.
And certainly in the early game, he could be a man. And actually as a fitness squad or whatever.
I think the only problem with him might be trying to get him into a good team. Because
he might
be a shining star in a very bad...
Yeah,
so
that's a very good point.
See,
I mean, Gelson Martins obviously is a weak link to him, but you really need that strong link to...
Ideally, you need someone green link to get to him, so then you can just kind of get away from that league and then go somewhere else. But
yeah, without a doubt. I think that's pretty much my kind of two picks there. Defensively, there are a couple of decent options like on the cheaper end as well. You've got Juan Jesus, who's back.
He's back and just as good as what he used to be.
Without saying too much, I think people will know what we're talking about there. So he's definitely a good pick. And I'm sure we'll talk more in future podcasts about the kind of players that are really kind of effective, because obviously there are certain things you can't talk about at this stage. And it's more about the gameplay there. So let's get into your questions. You've been tweeting us and emailing us. You can email us footweekly@mail.com. Or you can tweet us at Foot Weekly Podcast. And actually, we should point out, which is now a very good time, we've kind of redone the website. So if people want to explore the podcast there, it's a really good place to do it because it's been revamped. It's now footweeklypodcast.com.
Ooh, wow. And I know. Nice. Yeah. You've got it.
And we've also had a bit of a Twitter rebrand, so if you fancy checking that out, you can do that and then also tweet us. And these are things people have sent in. So 180 degree passes is a particular bugbear for some people. So that's when you're facing one way and suddenly you're able to ping it directly to the player behind you almost in one motion. And
as if he was an owl and your whole body turned around the complete
other way. Legs like an owl,
yes.
So do you think that's still present in this game?
So what I'd say is you can definitely still do it.
Mm.
It's definitely still there. But I've noticed, particularly like we were saying about the passing, if the player's got a higher passing stat, there's a better chance of you being able to do a 180 pass and it come out and it to work. If you have a player who has lower passing, so if you're doing it with your defender or something like that who has lower passing, usually it's a lot more risky, I think. I'm not gonna. I would hate to lie and say that it's completely gone. I wish it was gone because I feel like it's somewhat unrealistic. But it's there. But I definitely think they've adjusted it. I definitely think we can safely say that.
I completely agree on that. I was using actually even like a decent passer like Aaron Ramsey. I tried doing it and I tried it a couple of times and they were just really wayward and it just didn't go where I was aiming. Like you can still attempt them, but your chance of pulling it off unless you've got a very top level player is much lower.
And also I think they take their time to do it. Like they'll sort of actually turn
it. It's nowhere near as instant.
Actually it like means that flair is a bit more important. Like doing a back heel can help you out a lot.
Yes, for sure. A back heel can definitely be.
Yeah, I think that's really good. That. So the other thing that's a massive thing last year was the kind of backwards crab dribble thing, basically where you held the two triggers and then you moved yourself backwards and you were kind of shuffling around like kind of ice skating.
Yeah,
would you say that's, I mean, you obviously probably used that a lot last year. Do you think it's effective now?
Well, I was a massive L2, R2 or left trigger, right trigger guy, wherever you were. This year, it's definitely, again, I think this is the thing I really do enjoy about this year's game, is they've taken our complaints and things that people haven't necessarily enjoyed, and they haven't just completely got rid of them, because you've got to look at it like this. Whenever you're playing a game against someone and you're having a bad time, there's probably a good chance that they're having a good time, but this isn't the only time that they've played, and it could be, it's probably the other way around, you know?
So
you're doing the left trigger, and you're bumping into the guy, and you're getting frustrated, but it's probably happened to him as well. So I like the fact that they haven't just completely eradicated things, they've just made them a lot more balanced, and I think that's like we said before.
It's definitely a lot more balanced.
Again, it's still in the game, it's just much harder to actually pull it off.
The guy needs to be strong. The guy's going very strong and agile, but there isn't that many of them.
Exactly. And I think when you do it, you can do it, but it's easier to, like, with the whole manual defending, I think people are going to be better at defending. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, so, of course. Yeah.
I noticed when I was playing, like, people did seem to be able to kind of read what you were going to do.
A player can step and get the ball, they can definitely do that.
They've also introduced this thing called a hard tackle, which is like where apparently if you charge up the B button or the circle button to tackle, that's a standard standing tackle, if you like, they kind of like lunge in a bit harder and will go with a bit more kind of...
I'll make sure I don't do that with Sergio Ramos. I'm probably going to get a red.
Player aggression feed into that as well?
I think that it's more about standing tackle ability.
We'll see.
So that's something interesting to note, which people might want to try out on the demo.
That's actually good, because I was literally going to say it again, it just feeds back to the point of don't get rid of the AI. When I see people on Twitter saying, get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. I can't physically control 11 people at once. What game are you playing? I can't do that. You're playing pro clubs. There's only way you'd be able to do 11v11.
I might say that actually, because it's kind of something I meant to mention earlier, but it kind of comes up here, I suppose.
Yeah, that annoys me when I see people send that on Twitter. Oh, AI, get rid of it. No, don't get rid of it.
Yeah, just
going
to say,
Yeah, don't just get rid of it. Oh, it's broken, get rid of it. Nope.
Yeah, and actually going back to this whole thing about AI sort of defending and things like that, do you guys feel like it's been well balanced? Because I think the danger is that you kind of make AI so bad that it's actually not having an effect, and then people are like, oh well, what's the point of playing, because I can't control 11 players at the same time.
I'll give you a good example. I think it was FIFA 14, which was notorious for crossing. You could cross it in, and Mandzukic might have been the best player on the game.
Because
of his heading.
It's Mandzukic or Benteke.
Yeah, one of those guys. If you had good heading, Peter Crouch, I remember at the beginning of the game, a guy literally destroyed me with him. So I was very upset. And I was definitely one of the people that was like, oh my god, crossing's too strong. And back in those days, because EA didn't have events like this, or they definitely weren't as big. They've balanced it. They've made it so that it's still possible. So back to the AI thing, is I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, get rid of it. It's just don't get rid of it. Just tone it down. They've balanced a lot of things, everything.
I think that's really important. And you don't have these massive grab circles that you used to have around players like Smalling, where they'd just be able to like reach across to anything.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest change. But they're still not, they don't feel entirely stupid. Although I have a few question marks over goalkeeping this year, I think. A lot of the shots that I've conceded, saves should have been made, get a hand to it,
I genuinely think that goalkeeper is one of the hardest positions, because you have some people that will be out there, they'll say you should have to, in a standard Ultimate Team match, you should have to control the keeper.
Because it's genuinely
the only position where you have a little control about when he comes out to collect the ball, but you don't, you can obviously... can throw the ball at him, but you can't actually control where he saves.
I found like keeper charges a little bit more effective this year, just because keepers don't seem quite so consistent at like stopping one-on-ones from bad finishes.
Yes, of course.
Maybe like bring out your keeper, surprising opposition is an advantage, and actually that's true of real football.
A sweeper keeper trait, if that's even I might make
that
up.
Trait,
that
yeah,
might
yeah.
be a trait that could be. That could be something.
Because as far as I'm aware, I think keepers often they're meant to they'll. in a one-on-one situation, they'll have a preference for one side slightly. They'll position themselves slightly to the right or slightly to the left, so one side will be slightly easier to finish. I don't know how consistent that is, whether it's randomly selected, whether the keeper's stats play a have a factor in that. But that very slight preference could be something that a player could quite easily be given control over with a certain button combination. So maybe in the future that's a feature
that could come in.
Show
the right, show the left.
You could tell the keeper to position himself slightly to one side. That way, if the player tries to shoot that way, you've got a way higher chance of saving.
And I suppose that makes sense in terms of like weak foot, whatever the
Strong
foot. Then you got you do your homework on a certain players, and you're like, oh, where's Dybala on it?
Would add like a whole other kind of mental game to one-on-one defending with the keeper. But that's not in this build of the game.
It's,
I thought that'd be in this year's game, but we'll see.
That's blue sky thinking.
If they bring us next year, we'll tell them.
So we talked quite extensively about that. Kind of got onto other things. So let's try to rattle through. Picking the right player when passing is something that people have complained about. You know, you end up sort of passing and it doesn't go to the right player and things like that. Did you feel like that was a problem this year, Louis, or in this game?
I think the fact that, because defending is, like I said, a lot harder, if I have the ball, then I've got to do less defending. So I've definitely tried to be a little bit more careful where I'm passing it. So it would be hard for me to say, even though I probably have played the most games out of anyone here, genuinely, I think I might have played over 20 games, I still think it would be hard for me to say whether the, oh, I didn't pass it there is a thing. I think it's very difficult to say.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't say at this point.
Well, and it's interesting because actually one of the things that you can check this through is there's like the system where when you do instant replay, it now shows you kind of what you were doing. So it shows the like...
So it's almost like an indicator.
Yeah,
it's like
kind of it doesn't. I don't know if it shows the button you press, which is a bit of a shame, but it shows like the direction you're pointing the analog stick.
Okay, cool, yeah.
So that's quite interesting. Like it shows maybe sometimes you're actually just slipping a bit and it's not quite connected.
Cool,
you're not connecting it. And with these PlayStation controllers, no offense to any PlayStation players, I did actually notice a few times like I felt like I wasn't, although I meant it to go there, actually just physically wasn't doing it correctly. So yeah, that's something to note. The other thing people are asking about, do the players react faster to your inputs? I feel like we've covered that already because of the dribbling.
Yeah, 100%. That's a
straight up yes.
And so the other thing is, like when a player gets fouled with a free kick, and there's a free kick, do players kind of stand around moaning about it? I don't feel like I noticed that actually.
You know what?
I've not noticed.
Yeah, I don't know if I've been playing against bad defenders or good defenders because it could go either way. I haven't really got that many quick free kick opportunities, I'll be honest.
I'm not sure I've had like a direct free kick in an actual shooting position yet.
I actually had a direct free kick and managed to get it on target, but it seems like they've kind of slightly narrowed the scope of free kicks, so you can't like hit it really far wide so much anymore.
You can't like bend it.
Yeah, and I was chatting to one of the producers about that, and he was saying, yeah, they've narrowed the like field of view basically, so like where you're aiming is slightly further inwards.
Okay. Cool.
So that's kind of something to note when you're taking free kicks. Should make it slightly easier, but they haven't made it that much less, that much easier than last year.
No.
But yeah, on the like players complaining thing with that, I think again too early to say. We just haven't seen enough of it.
And the other question, are headers OP? I don't think so, but like
again, I've not noticed it.
This is something that we're gonna have to wait until like people exploit the game fully. Like people are trying now.
Certainly at this event, I've not been being abused with crosses and headers. Like 100%, that's true. But whether a month or two down the line we're all complaining about heading, that remains to be seen.
So another question, the bane of a FIFA player's life is injuries, of course. And do you feel, Louis, like, I mean, you've played quite a lot of games, 20 as you say, have you found many like at all?
I actually haven't, surprisingly. Maybe, like I said to you though, I haven't really been getting that many fouls. So, or nothing very bad. Yeah, I wish that's the case. But no, I think genuinely I haven't had many hard tackles, I guess, because I don't recall having an injury. So.
Yeah, I think we had one on station that we were using. We packed one icon in our point so far. Not a particularly good one, and he got injured in the first game we played with him. So we've had one, but between us we've probably played 10, 12 games total and one injury in that. So it's definitely not like last year where they were like two or three a match at the start until they patched it.
And in terms of the last question is, kickoff is now with one player passing it back. People may have seen this, so they don't like line up next to each other. So it's a bit more realistic. They pass it back to a teammate, and this guy is wondering whether people just drive at you again from kickoff or whether that's kind of been stopped. What's your kind of view on this, Luke?
So I believe, is it L2?
L2. Yeah, L2.
So I believe if you hold it, you can bring a second player. That guy will actually come up to you, and then you can play from there. I haven't actually done that. Literally, a guy showed me before I came here, so I wasn't actually sure about that. But I think that that idea of someone running straight from kickoff to try and score is never going to go away, because there's not enough time for someone to really build a play straight from a kickoff. So they're always going to try and run forward. What I would say, though, is that unless you're competent at defending, you genuinely might have a hard time. Because before, I know personally, if I scored a goal, my first instinct was to get one of my faster, stronger players. Luckily for me, I had Ronaldo last year. I would let the AI do the defending for me, and I'd run until I got the ball back off them. So as soon as the guy, once I score my goal, because I score lots of goals, once I score my goal, I get Ronaldo or a player who's nearest to the guy who's running with, straight from kickoff, I could get the ball back. Whereas on this new build that we're playing, definitely, it's still possible, for sure.
Yeah, it's still possible, but I guess the distance is a bit more, so you might have a bit more of a chance to make
it. If you can defend, you have a chance. It's as simple as that. Yeah, you have a chance.
And again, it's such a small sample of games we've seen. It's not been a big thing here, but I'm sure when you get online, people are really sweating it out.
It'll be interesting to see how things develop. I think the last thing I think we'll end on is, because I know a lot of people have asked about this, is people are aware about defending being tough this year. Louis is someone who's obviously pretty good at the game, having played a lot of people here. What's your tip in terms of defending? What should people be focusing on improving on the demo, maybe?
So what I'd say is, for me, what I've found the most success with is looking at not necessarily who's got the ball right now, and maybe not even the guy who's going to get the ball next. It's maybe the guy after that. Yes, I think it's definitely there's a lot more about reading the game. Yeah. And I think that's huge. Whereas, like we said before, before you didn't really have to think about that. Whereas now I really feel like I've read that. And I remember crying out all the time when I used to play it. My mom used to shout, she used to tell me off for being loud, where I'm screaming, I've read that, reward me, EA, I've read that play, I've seen it 10 times and I haven't been able to get the ball. Whereas now this year, if you read it, and you're aggressive and you go for that ball, there's a really good chance you get that ball.
The game rewards anticipation.
I think, for sure.
Your ability, if you predict what your opponent's going to do, is something that I've found, players like PK have been really good, his base card.
I would say as well.
He's not that quick, but his tackling is really good. His positioning and interceptions are perfect. And so if you're watching how your opponent's playing and you predict what they're going to do, then you're going to have success.
Great. I think that's a nice way to end it. And I think the bottom line being, defending is back.
Yeah, yes. Defending as a skill.
And look forward to talking to everyone again about FIFA 18 as we're soon able to talk about the features and a bit more detail about the players that we like.
Yeah, we'll get into some stat reviews as soon as we can.
Louis, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you very much for coming. Yeah, it was great.
Where can people find you if they want to have a look?
So all of my social media, that's Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. I don't have Facebook. Twitch especially, I'm going to be very much doing a lot of that this year, especially for the first month. Maybe not when the Foot Champions qualifying comes around, because it's very serious. But you can follow me at Roach, which literally, instead of R-O-A-C-H-E, it's R-X-A-C-H-E. I'm sure you'll find me on there.
Great. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's great. Thank you.
Cheers.
Nice one.